Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. Title of the podcast today, or the episode today, is How Divorce Affects Business. I have a very interesting gentleman. Michael Roberts is here today. Michael, welcome.
Welcome. It's nice to be here.
And Michael has an interesting relationship to divorce and business. Michael has not been divorced. He's happily married, and we love that, Michael. But Michael and I met through LinkedIn. Michael actually has a podcast of his own called Small Business Celebration, and it is exceptional. I have listened to it, and as a business person, I will continue to listen to it. And so we will let you know how to get in touch with that podcast later on. But here's what Michael's relationship to divorce is. He and I share a similar background. We both worked in the events business for many, many years. I produced entertainment. Michael is in lighting. Michael had two very important experiences with divorce and business, and that's what he's here to share because, as you know from all of our other episodes, we learn how to assess business as an asset so it can be divided in a divorce, but we've not yet talked about what happens to people in their work life while they're going through divorce, and it's a hugely important experience to talk about. If you are going through divorce, you should let your manager know. You should let human resources know because the divorce will affect the business. It will affect your behavior. And so Michael's stories, I think, are going to shine a light on all of this. Michael, you had two experiences. I want to talk about the first one. You, as an employee of a company, worked for a couple going through divorce.
Right.
Tell us about it.
First of all, I think you nailed it right on the head because one of the things that a lot of people going through divorce fail to realize is the nuclear effect that that divorce has on everybody around them. Yes, we tend to think about the couple themselves. We ask about the children, how they're being involved with that. But one of the last people we seem to think about are the people we go and see the majority of the day, which is the people at work, whether we own a business or we're an employee and all of our associates around us. And whether we like it or not, we're the ones who are also affected by this divorce as well, because it disrupts the normal, the quote-unquote normal flow of things.
When you say we, you mean the coworker.
The coworker, absolutely. Because what ends up happening is there's often a lack of sleep. There's a higher amount of irritability. There is a lot of other things that suddenly come into play that, as an employee, you're questioning, why are things different? How come are things different? And you know, I said this to this person last week, and it was just fine, and now it's not. What happened? What's so wrong here? And it's that inconsistency, and it's that questioning that really disrupts the professional career and the professional life surrounding the divorced couple as they are in the workforce. So that's one of the things that I found. The entertainment business is notorious for being volatile and unto itself and being very fluid and not necessarily very consistent. And so as a result, things often get more amplified in the entertainment industry because you have personality types that are naturally wanting to shine and stand out. And you have personality conflicts that just by their very nature happen. And now you're throwing a divorce into there and it makes life more interesting, to say the least.
Thank you for your word choice.
So one of the things that I've noticed is the illusion, the story that you're referring to is I worked for a couple that we were doing a television show and I was the director of photography for. And it was about 15 years ago. And the show was doing very, very well in its first season. And in fact, it was the number one rated show on that cable station at the time. And One of the things that often happens, not every time, but often happens, is when there's a certain amount of success, especially when it's first-time success in a production project, the people that produce the project may or may not know how to handle success. And that is exactly what happened here, because it's not necessarily the amount of money that they earned, which was rather substantial because of the success of the show, but rather the money amplified who their real personalities were.
We all learned that in the entertainment industry. It's true. It's true. So good lesson. Success is a good lesson in many different ways, but it makes you humble at a certain point because you will fall.
It does. It does. And this is exactly what happened with this couple. And as the director of photography, I was the one that was responsible for the visual elements for the entire show for all 26 episodes of the season. And so the producers in TV are very integrated into the creative process. They're very directly involved in the camera shots. They're very involved with the look, the color, the lighting, how things work, and that sort of thing. And the situation that we had going into the second season, when this divorce was going through, was a very disruptive force into this project. Because what ended up happening is because one had a very dominant personality and the other had a more recessive personality, is now there was an incongruence on vision. And that directly affected everybody in the production. Now the directors didn't know how the storyboards were supposed to be laid out. The talent didn't know, the casting directors didn't know what kind of talent they needed to scout for and hire. We didn't, as the lighting crew, we weren't entirely sure what the shoot schedule was going to be, because now we've got studio space, or we're going to be live on location. If we're going to be live on location, how are things going to be set up? And all of these things tied directly back to the producers who are getting a divorce.
How long did it go on before it had to be addressed?
The bubblings of the divorce started happening at the end of season one. And to their credit, they did try to go and do some counseling, and they did go off and spend a couple months in Hawaii, and they did try to patch things up
between shooting seasons,
okay. Right. And they did make that effort. Now, obviously, I don't know all the details of what happened on that, but I do know that when they came back, nothing moved forward in a positive fashion. In fact, in some ways, it made things worse. And so when we came into season two, the production company was under contract by the network to proceed with season two, and the money was just too tantalizing to say no. Mm-hmm. It would have been cheaper all the way around for them had they just simply said no.
Say how? Say why?
And the reason is because the cost overruns that ended up happening in the second season due to the lack of direction just made the expenses of the show astronomical, between the inconsistency in vision, but also because of the bickering back and forth in shoots. It made the days longer, made the crews go into overtime more frequently, and you had just a multiplying effect. And then all the additional costs that went into post-production to fix all this other stuff just suddenly made the show unprofitable.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Did it eat into the profits?
It did. It did. And that is the reason why by the time we got to episode 21, the studio had had enough, because the studio was now having to shell out extra cash to make this show work. And there was more drama going on behind the camera than in front of the camera. And in fact, the cynical joke that was going on is maybe we should have just turned the cameras around and changed the show.
Yes. And I thought about that as well. So if I may stop you, since I deal in divorce on a daily basis, here's what I got from what you just said. There are two divorces happening at the same time.
Right.
There's the emotional divorce, And then there's the logistical divorce. The logistical divorce is the filing of the divorce, making the decisions regarding everything that has to do with your specific settlement.
Right.
But the emotional divorce is the thing that has to be dealt with first.
Right.
Before you even file.
Right.
Because it will ruin everything. And I think that even though you said they tried to get counseling, which is fabulous, they took one positive step, I still think with this thing called the emotional divorce, nobody knows how long it's going to take.
You're right. And what exacerbated the problem, too, is that in a household with children, you have very commonly the battle between who do you love more? Which parent do you love more? Well, now you've multiplied that by literally 1,000 because you have all the crew that are trying to figure out, okay, who do I kiss up to more prominently because I'm still trying to get work for the next project.
Yes.
And so you have all that involved. So now you've got a show that's trying to be produced, trying to be put together and made. But now you have the emotional aspect where you have the entire cast and crew trying to make sure their careers aren't being destroyed by this and trying to see, well, maybe there's another future project out of either one of them as at the same time, which complicates things even further.
Were you or any of the other employees able to speak to the divorcing couple, your bosses, your supervisors, and explain the difficulty, or was that not appropriate?
Fortunately, as the director of photography, and I was contracted for all 26 episodes, I was one of the few constant voices in the production office. And so as that process unfolded, as much as I tried to stay out of it because it was an internal personal issue, you get to the point where you have to take them aside and go, okay, look it. We are 3 days into the shoot week and we're already at 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, now we're at 80 hours. And now things are starting to get really expensive. And things are starting to get, and the emotional strain on the crew, they don't mind working 10, 12, and the occasional 14-hour day, but they don't like 3, 4, 20-hour days back to 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 try to get the same shot over and over again because the production staff can't get their act together to figure out what it is that they want. And so as the director of photography, that was one of the unfortunate things that I had to do was to take him aside around when we were shooting episode 8, I think 8 or 9, that's when I had to take him into the room and go, okay, look, somebody has to be the adult. Somebody has to sit here and make a decision on how we're going to handle this and move things forward. And to their credit, it worked for a couple episodes and then things relapsed and started getting out of hand. And it got to the point where the last 6 or 8 episodes of the season, the show was entirely produced by the associate producers and the executive producers. They pretty much ran everything because the owners of the show, the main producers of the show, were basically incommunicado with their own challenges. So it basically came down to the last 6 episodes were production by committee, and it looked like it.
So that was it. There were no other seasons after that, right?
Correct.
That was
correct.
It. So looking back now, and for the people who are listening to this, Michael, any advice you can give to people going through divorce and, I guess, owning their own businesses? Because
right.
That's a little different than being an employee. But for those who own a business and have work on, what do you think they should know so that they can continue?
One of the things that helped me make it through a lot of shows is the DISC system, or personality profiles, DISC system. And this is a personality profile system that's based on Aristotle. And It's something that has been around for a long time. It's not perfect because it categorically breaks the personalities up into four different dominant personality types. Now, we all know no one person has one solid, pure personality type. But what it is it's a guideline. It helps you have a general idea. You have people that are what we call Ds, which are very dominant and strong personalities. You have people who are Is, and the I personality are people who are inspirational and fun. They're the people that when they walk into a room, everybody loves them and they brighten up the room. You have the S personality types, which are the people who are the servants. They're the people that help and nurture. They're the ones that want to make sure that everybody's taken care of. They want to make sure that everybody feels good. They're the ones who want to make sure that everybody is warm and taken care of. And then you have the C personality, which are the people who are very detail-oriented. These are your engineers. These are your lab technicians. These are people who are your accountants. These are the people that, without them, the world could not turn because they're the ones who make sure that all the right dots are on all the right places, that are they're very detail-oriented. And as a result, once you understand how these personality profiles work together or work against each other, then it makes it easier to be able to approach different personalities as you're going through your professional career, and especially when you're going through and working with a couple that are going through divorce, because very often you'll be able to roughly identify one person going through divorce as one personality type and the other person as another personality type, and you'll be able to help relate to them on a more personal level because you have a better understanding of who they are at their root personality.
And dealing with them on a more personal level, even though this is a work environment, will at least allow for a productive day to go forward as much as it can.
Exactly.
Because we do all still have to go to work. Most of us do not have the luxury of taking time off if we're going through divorce, right?
Correct.
We still have to go to work. Okay, now you have a second story.
Right.
You were actually a partner in a company.
Right.
With a divorcing couple.
Right.
Would you share that with us?
So this was a couple that I partnered with for doing a series of productions and live event productions. And this was a lot of fun because the great thing about doing live events is that while there's a certain pattern to things, the creativity scale is way off the charts. It's the hybrid of doing film and television meets theater. You're able to go through and have a lot of fun doing live events and live production.
That's why I loved the events business for so many years, because of that. And you live on the edge.
You absolutely
You don't get to do it again.
No.
Showtime waits for no man. The doors to the ballroom have to open at a certain time, and you better be ready.
And if the corporate logo isn't in the right place, in the right color.
And well lit.
Everybody knows it. Especially when it appears on page 6, yes. So, but yeah, it's, and the production company that I worked with, it was a couple that I had known before, and they were new to the live events business. They had come from the oil business, and they had done very well in the oil business. And they had built up their oil business literally from the ground up, where it was just them in a pickup truck, and to turning into a multinational corporation, and they had lots and lots of money. And one of the partners, he decided that, you know what? Let's start an event business. This will be great fun. And his other partner, he was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's have a great time. But we don't know anything. Fortunately, I had done an event that they had attended, and they said, Michael, we love your lighting. Why don't you come partner? Why don't you give us a hand? Why don't you give us advice? And then the advice turned into more advice, and they said, why don't you just partner with us and help us make this thing happen? And they're a lovely couple, and the two of them are wonderful. And I figured, sure, why not? Little did I know that what was going on in the background is the two of them were at crossroads in their own personal lives where the conversation of children was coming up. One partner wanted to have children, the other one did not. And it was starting to drive a major conflict between the two of them. And the first set of events that we did were wonderful. They were very, very, they were just fabulous. They were great. And then as the conversation of children dominated their relationship, things started to go south. And one of the things that started to amplify was that one of the partners started displaying a personality trait that I had not recognized in this person before, which I knew that he really enjoyed the spotlight. I knew that he was a dandy, a peacock, as it were. He liked to be the center of attention, but I also didn't realize that he also had anger issues, and he would demonstrate his anger with the same flamboyancy that he took pride in his showmanship. And so where this really started to come to head is we were doing an event in Santa Monica, and it was great fun. We were having a great time, but things in the production office were not going well. And this conversation between the two partners had gone south rapidly. And so it literally got to the point in the production office on this one particular event that started the downhill slide, where one partner literally started throwing things against the wall at or near the other partner. And when you have a situation like that, it really impacts everybody else around there, because now, similar to my previous story, nobody wants to go in the production office.
Where all the decisions are made.
Where all the decisions are made, exactly. And this starts rolling out just like I had mentioned before in the other example. And so where this affects me as a partner, though, where the difference is that it ends up becoming I'm the one who has to make all the decisions on everything. And the challenge is that I don't know everything involved, because the other two partners have their half of the company, their half of the business that they're responsible for. And especially since they're predominantly on the financial side of things, well, now suddenly I have to understand everything that they're doing, plus everything that I'm doing on these events that are rather large and expensive in nature. And suddenly the stress level starts going through the roof, and it becomes very, very difficult. And so as the partner on this, what ends up happening is all the employees, all the vendors, all the clients, they recognize that there's an issue going on. They don't want to get anywhere close to that firefight. They want to talk to the one person they believe has a level head, and this person over, and the person who has a level head is the one that is on his sixth Red Bull because he's been up for 3 days straight trying to put this whole show together.
Is that you?
And that was me. So that's the challenge with being on the receiving end, is couples that are going through divorce need to understand that it's more than just them and the children that are involved with this. It's everybody else around them. And especially since most of us spend the majority of our work, since most of us spend the majority of our working hours outside of the home and in the professional environment, you have to be cognizant of the other people you're interacting with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We just did a recording of an episode that will be launched by the time this one launches, about shifting relationships in divorce. And it was on a personal level, not a business level, which is why you are so important to this discussion of divorce and relationships,
right?
Because we have our professional relationships. And different than the TV show, when you have an actual business, not only do you have the employees who are working for you, some are contracted for single events, as in the events businesses, and others are consistent regardless, right, of the event. But then you also have the purveyors, the people who provide additional services,
right,
to you, right?
Right.
So we have a lot going on.
Absolutely. And one of the things that, like I mentioned before, that helps get through this is, like you mentioned before, is if you're going through a divorce, don't hide from it. Acknowledge it. Own it. and say, you know what, this is going to be a hard time. You don't need to get on a bullhorn and announce it necessarily to the world, but you do need to let the people that you affect directly know. And they don't need to necessarily know the details. They don't necessarily need to know the ins and outs of all the trials and tribulations of your divorce. But they do need to know that something's amiss. Something isn't right. And that you may have to apologize in advance for saying or do something out of line or out of character. But as long as the people around you know, you're more than not better off. Because at least they'll understand and they'll know that something's going wrong and probably hope that this gets resolved sooner rather than later.
And do you think, that was excellent advice, do you think that anybody affected, an employee, purveyor, whomever it is, should they speak up to some extent and explain, I'm having a difficult time knowing how to react to you, person going through divorce. Give me guidelines. How right. do you think that dialogue might work?
Trust is an issue, and that has always been an issue. And my wife went through a divorce, and in fact, that's one of the things that is a constant that we're working through, is that she was married to someone who is very narcissistic. And as a result, one of the things that we have in common is trust is key. Trust is important. Consistency is very, very important. Especially somebody like myself who's in the entertainment industry, consistency is not necessarily a given. And so when you yourself are going through a divorce, you're probably very vulnerable. You don't know who to trust. And the key thing is to find that someone who you can confide in, who can help you with the guardrails of how am I supposed to approach this? How am I being perceived? Because you and I both know that we can be in a working environment and we already know there are going to be people in the office that we don't trust. We know that there are going to be people in the office who are going to be gunning for you no matter what it is. And they are just looking for an opportunity to come after you. So you need to be cognizant of this. You need to walk in not with rose-colored glasses, but you need to be realistic enough to say, you know what, who is that one person? And maybe it is your boss who you don't have the best relationship with. You don't necessarily need to tell them the ins and outs that you're going through a divorce, but you need to at least let them know. You need to let HR know that you're going through this divorce so that if complaints start coming towards your boss's way or HR's way, they can inform you about these complaints, but they can help frame it in such a way that, did you know, maybe you might want to change? Have you thought about and take it that direction? Because otherwise, this information is going to come out of the blue. They're going to think something else more horrendous is going on, and it will come back to bite you in a very negative way.
Right. And to piggyback on top of that, you don't want all the employees and people around you to be saying, did you hear that so-and-so is getting divorced? I wonder what's going on. That's the reason why. So I'm going to put my mediator hat on for a second and say that if we can just acknowledge, those of us going through divorce, if we can just acknowledge to those who have to work closely with us, whether it's our coworkers and or management and HR, if we can just acknowledge that we're going through divorce, it is a difficult time, that in and of itself becomes such an authentic moment. Because even though the people you may be talking to, some may have never experienced divorce or marriage, others may already have gone through their own divorce, you can start using this sad, tough, difficult experience called divorce as a launching pad to connect in a different and more positive way with those around you, because those around you can actually help you.
Right.
They can help mitigate that huge emotional swing. God knows what happened to you on the way to work today. You know, maybe your ex didn't pick up the kids, or you're still living in the same house and it's untenable because you need your own space, but you don't have the money to set up two households yet. All these things are going on in the background. But if we can be real, if we can share that we are in a difficult space, people will rush to help. And I love that. I love that connection when that happens, when we can just be real and say, I kind of need help. I don't need to talk about it all day, but you may see some behavior in me that is not normal. Please know it's a result of, and maybe just make me aware of it, something like that. What were you going to say?
It's no small secret that aside from first responders and attorneys, that divorces are next highest in the entertainment industry. And I can tell from those that have, from being in the entertainment industry for as long as I have been, is if you tell your coworkers you're going through a divorce, this is not going to come as a big surprise or a shocker to anybody, because you're in the entertainment business. Most people get divorced at some point. And it's an unhappy situation, but it's also one that is known, it's accepted, and it's not going to be a shock to anybody. And so if you're in another line of work where your industry is less prone to divorce, that's where going out and finding that right person that you were just talking about to help you, guide you through this, is going to be key. If you're in a line of profession, if you're in a profession where anonymity is key or confidentiality is key, you really need to find that person who has the gift of discernment to be able to guide you through that and say, okay, let me help you. Let me reach out to you. Let me help you through this tough process. And this will be our quiet conversation.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. As we conclude, Michael, you are married.
I am.
And your wife did go through a divorce. And narcissism happens to be the personality disorder du jour. It used to be bipolar when I got into this business 7.5 years ago.
Right.
But the high conflict personality of the day is a result of what's going on in our culture and society. And so we have a very narcissistic mindset in our culture and society right now. I just interviewed a man named Bill Eddy, and for the past 2 weeks, his episodes have been posted. Bill is the international guru of how to deal with high conflict personalities in a divorce and in a legal dispute. But what I wanted to ask you was, did your wife have children?
She did.
So you're a blended family. Well, you're kind of a blended family. You don't have any children,
right? I do not, no.
Okay. So, but you're a step-parent.
I am.
And that has probably given you a different life experience and some challenges.
That's true. And most of the challenges have been welcome challenges. It's a blessing I never expected to have. She's got two wonderful boys, and we're lucky to have them.
What are their ages?
They're both in college. And so one is going through a culinary school, and the other one is a videographer. So,
videographer, that's your bailiwick, right? And we all eat, so good for the culinary student. Were they minors when the divorce was going on?
Yes.
They were teenage minors,
at the time. And actually, no, they were young children at the time. But
it went on a long time.
It went on a long time. And the person in question, as it were, in a lot of ways, they learned a lot from this person on what to do, what not to do. And fortunately, in many ways, they have got their mother's genes. And so things have turned out mostly for the best. But there are still definitely trust issues that the two of them have. And especially the youngest one, who... It's a process. It's definitely a process. But it's a process that's turning out for the better. And he's one of these types of people where you can go and say, you know, that is socially unacceptable, right? So that helps.
That's really funny. Well, you know, I try and live with rose-colored glasses as much as humanly possible. And my response to all of my clients and to the children, your stepchildren, is, okay, so we may have a parent with some issues.
Right.
But that teaches us at the same time. Nobody wants to be born a narcissist. Nobody wants to be born with bipolar. Nobody wants to be born with issues.
Right.
And we all have to keep that in mind so that we can remain non-judgmental. Yes, we will have difficulties relating to a parent. My mother had issues. Once I got into this business and understood personality disorders, I looked at my mother in a whole different way. I could approach her differently, and it allowed me to have a better relationship with her for the most part. And I'm thinking and hoping with your two stepchildren that they will have the same experience, that they can appreciate their dad.
Right.
In a way that takes into consideration his challenges.
Right.
Do you think?
I want to take a real quick step back 1 second and split that the boy's father is not the same father as my wife was married twice before.
Ah.
And so their father is wonderful. He's a great guy. They just discovered that... or he and my wife discovered they were better off as best friends than they were married together.
Some people are.
Then she remarried, and that was the narcissist.
Okay. So not biological.
But not biological. Their biological dad is a wonderful guy, and you know he's very active in their lives, and they're very much better off for it. In fact, we're all better off for it. But it's the one in the middle that proved to be a challenge.
But Michael, the one in the middle, I'm going to guess, just from being in the legal side as a legal document assistant filing, he also had a responsibility once the divorce hit in terms of his relationship to the children, did he not?
Right, it did. And I have to take all this with a grain of salt because the information I have is one-sided. Mm. But from the three stories, my wife and the two boys, it really was, as most narcissists, it was all about him. It was about his schedule. And, of course, he would go through and change things and do things when it benefited him. And it all became centrally about him, and the world revolved around him. And what made this even more difficult is he was not financially responsible. And so when you have a combination of the number one thing for divorces is finance, and then making the whole world about him, that made it for a very difficult situation.
I know. That's what narcissism is. It's an inability to have empathy.
Right.
And in order to maintain control, it does have to be all about you.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying we just need to understand these concepts so we know how to deal with these concepts. That's the best
right.
we can do. Michael, this has been absolutely delightful. Now, I want people to be even more delighted by listening to your podcast.
Thank
you. Can you please tell us how they can get to you?
Sure. The name of the podcast is the Small Business Celebration Podcast. You can find it anywhere where you download podcasts, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play or Stitcher already, but it's also on Spotify and iHeartRadio or anywhere where you download podcasts. And we interview small business owners, successful small business owners, and we focus on owners who've actually done things to be successful so that you can learn something to grow a strong and profitable business yourself, not from somebody who's written a book that's trying to push it on a podcast, or somebody who's trying to sell you something that will, quote unquote, help your business, when in reality, it probably won't. We actually interview people who've been there, done that, freaked out about how to make payroll, how to answer those very curious letters from the Internal Revenue Service, and managed to be able to provide for their family, managed to be able to provide for their community, and helped lift all ships as a rising tide.
You are entrepreneurial. Can you just give our audience a minute of background on how the podcast Small Business Celebration became an entity?
It started by accident. I'm a member of Toastmasters International. And for those who don't know, Toastmasters is an organization that helps people with something that they fear worse than death, which is public speaking. And I did it because I am not an actor. I do not play one on TV. And I wanted to be able to improve my abilities to convey designs, concepts, and ideas in front of producers, promoters, boards of directors, and the like. And one of the advanced projects for Toastmasters is an optional elective project called Do a Podcast. Not be on a podcast, but do a podcast. So I thought this would be a lot of fun. I went and I interviewed my insurance agent, and he said, Michael, you know, you should go talk to this person. So I did, and I went and talked. He said, you know what, that person said, you should go talk to this person. And so I did. And he said, you know what, you should go talk to that person. And so I did, and I posted him, washed my hands, said, great, project is done. Then a couple weeks later, I started getting some very angry emails. People wanted more content.
No kidding.
And the beast was born. And
oh my God, this is great. And you earn your living by this.
I do.
Amazing.
And so we do have Southern California's number one downloaded small business podcast. And the reality is it's not about me. It really is about the guests, because when you have quality guests that come on the podcast that have been successful, that communicate their success, how they did it, you know that because they lived it, you can trust it. And they also go through and talk about some of the struggles that they had, their triumphs that they had, so that you know that whatever enterprise you're going into, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it's not a train.
Yes, yes. And again, it connects us. We all go through the same experiences. Michael, this has been delightful. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
Appreciate it. This is Judy Weigel, your amicable divorce expert. You have been listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. Thank you again so much. Please subscribe to this podcast so that each episode can be uploaded to your device immediately on Wednesdays. And I look forward to our time next week. Take care.